see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watching for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gamble. I am the host of this program, and welcome. And we're back. Family, it's about time to hit the ground running. Now, I'm going to try not to run too fast here. Got to slow down just a tad bit, do we not? Just a little bit, because I got a lot to cover today. A whole bunch to cover today. And I want to do a little, actually, to tell you the truth, I wasn't even sure until about a half hour, about an hour ago, what I was going to talk about. I had a whole bunch of things I wanted to talk about, and then it dawned on me, I'm going to put something together. I've been putting it together the past 30 minutes. It's just how it works. And I hope today I'm going to open up some eyeballs. Now, you're going to hear some of the same information, a summary of some kind, but I'm always, what I always do is add new things to it. And it's all factual. I don't just add something to it because I want to, or make it dramatic or melodramatic or whatever. I ain't into all that mess. I'm into telling the truth. I'm getting tired of these lies, man. These preachers out here, Bagley and all these others, LaHayes and the Bagleys and Hagees and all these people, man, we're not in the first seal yet. It is impossible. So they're counting on an uninformed public nationwide, actually worldwide, to believe their lying butts. Doggone it. Why don't they tell the truth? Blood moon rising. What? They expect an uninformed public to believe and trust in them. Man, that's total evil that God has warned us about in the scriptures. they will be judged harshly, worse than any murderer or rapist ever was through God. He will judge them so bad they can't even fathom what's going to happen to them if they don't stop their lying, using misrepresented scripture, misrepresenting scripture, and start coming clean. You know, I mean, it's just frustrating, man. It's frustrating. We're not in the sixth trumpet. Carl Gallup, Florida, sixth trumpet. You got to be kidding me. We sitting back here. Well, I think I'll go to the food line and get me some food. And, oh, I might catch a movie. Tom, I say, what? Where are we in the tribulation? Oh, according to these, that, and the other, we're in the sixth trumpet. We are? Yeah. And then others, they say we're in the sixth seal. Really? Yeah. Don't you know there's worldwide famine? Where are you going to get the food line? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I get, some grocery, graham crackers. I might get some hamburger, you know, something. But we're in the third and fourth seal, worldwide famine, we are. These liars, man, I'm going to tell you what. God's going to step on them like yesterday's dinner, like a bug. We're not in any first seal. It's impossible. How come people out there can't just shut them down? Shut them down, I mean, by challenging them and tell them, ask them aggressively, prove it. Don't just take the word. Don't take my word for anything. You do your own research. But ask these preachers, Hagee, LaHaye, Billy Graham, have them to prove it, that you don't have to know the name of Jesus. And what Billy Graham says, family, these preachers are moving away. MacArthur says, take that mark. Take the RFID chip. Say, what? He must have got a head start on the legalization of marijuana. Something's wrong with these people. And, you know, Billy Graham says, well, I'm not aggressive as I used to be. You know, I just teach the love of God. Yeah, well, what about hell? What about warning people that there is a hell? And that's a fact. How about warning people that Jesus Christ is the only way? Well, you say, well, he did. Mm-hmm. He stopped 20 years ago. Him and Robert Schuller. They joined the Roman Catholic Church. They're both Jesuits. Both are 33-degree Masons. Oh, that's a fact. Notice they're all coming out in the past 10 years. Family, these are facts. These are not, and they believe in UFOs and aliens, not fallen angels, not demons, but aliens. There are no aliens. Say, well, they've got to be. Really? Then what about original sin? That shuts them down every time. Never fails. Then tell me about original sin. Original sin, you mean the aliens also had Adam and Eve? Or the fallen angel, excuse me, the aliens are blessed and we here on earth are cursed and all the other aliens and every other planet is bypassed and only the ones on earth are cursed? Ask them those questions. Put them on the spot. Embarrass them if you have to. It don't matter. They need to be exposed because they're leading millions. Osteen, Oprah, the whole lot of them. Family, put these people to challenge. Even while they're preaching, you got to do something to show that the King James Bible, in fact, is the only true word of God. And that's irrefutable. If there's a way around it, I'd say, well, the Geneva Bible's okay, the King James Bible's okay, but it absolutely is not. King James Bible, Cambridge edition, irrefutably is the only true word of God on the face of the planet, and there's not one preacher, evangelist, pope, priest, rabbi, or otherwise, bishop, apostle, disciple, 10 buck two, or whatever living today can say otherwise. Not even one. They'll sidestep you. They'll excommunicate you. They'll do all kinds of things. But they won't feed you ice cream because they can't tell you the truth. Because they belong to secret societies. And they're under a blood oath. They are the ones in bondage. You're not. They are. But we all, humankind, is under deception until you pull out of there and march out on your own individual thinking. And that individual thinking will lead you to the King James Bible. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. They're depending on you to be odd and ood, just like the Muslims are. With the masses of people, they're deceived for you to follow in line. Well, if the masses are doing it, it must be true. Well, it's quite the contrary. In fact, the Illuminati, according to their Article 5, Paragraph 11 of their own plan, they say that the Illuminati, they fear personal initiative. In Article 5, Paragraph 11 of their scheme says, and I quote their own documentation, quote, "There's nothing more dangerous than personal initiative. If it has genius behind it, such initiative can do more than can be done by millions of people among whom, listen, we have sown discord. We must so direct the education of the Goyim, that be us, communities, that whenever they come upon a matter requiring initiative, they may drop their hands of despairing impotence." And what they've done, according to paragraph, Article 9, Paragraph 9, says, quote, "In order to annihilate the institutions of the Goyim, before it is time, we have touched them with craft." That's deception, witchcraft, every other thing. "And have taken hold of the ends of the springs which move their mechanism. These springs lay in strict but just sense of order. We have replaced them by the chaotic license of liberalism. We've got our hands in the administration of the law, into the conduct of elections, into the press, into liberty of the person, but principally into education and training as being the cornerstone of a free existence." Unquote. Now, how brown cow? Where did it go to? That I read you the other day. There you are. Unrelated to that reference there. Now you'll see in the Rockefeller file by Gary Allen, a reputable researcher, says, I quote, "With money, the Rockefellers gain control of the media. With the media, the family gain control over public opinion. With control over public opinion, they gain control of politics. And with control of politics, they're taking control of the nation." Now, the Rockefellers are controlled by the Vatican, by the Illuminati, because they are Illuminati, the Council of Foreign Relations. Family, Satan has his hands in every single country, every single leader, every single church. You heard me right. And every single religion, all of them, every one of them, bar none. And the one coming that's going to take the place of all religions is one. Oh, I know. It's the Roman Catholic Church. Nope. They're going to crash the Roman Catholic Church as planned by the Vatican. Well, what's going to happen then? Oh, Elmer says. And I tell Elmer, it's going to be the New Age movement. Sananda Manuel, Maitreya. The New Age Enlightenment and blah, blah, blah. That's what's going to take the control. But first, they must show you how worthless the governments are. They must show you, by truth tellers, now you get it? Then they must show you how worthless religion is. Now they do. Show you how worthless the Christian religion, the Islam, Judaism, all of them, show how worthless they are. So that's why they're exposing all their own preachers now. So you'll then seek. That's the problem. And the reaction is you'll seek a spiritual belief system. The solution is they have one. It's called the New Age Movement. Teilhard de Chardin, a Jesuit priest. Look it up right now. Do while you're sitting there. Look it up. Teilhard, T-E-I-L-A-R-D, D-E, Chardin, C-H-A-R-D-I-N. He's the father of the New Age Movement. Been working on this for a long time. All the way back to Nimrod. Literally. To placate those that didn't accept the New Age Movement, by the 4th century, they created the religion of Christianity under the Roman Catholic Church. Jesus Christ is not about Christianity. Christianity has so many different belief systems, it's not even funny. And they're not about Jesus. Some of them mention Jesus, but they're not his doctrine. Being a Christian is not about Christianity. Being a Christian is about following Jesus Christ. Being born again. Having your sins, repenting of your sins. Get them to Jesus. Not a pope, not a priest, not a rabbi, not anybody else, but you and Jesus. And asking him for forgiveness. He's the only one. And having him to help us live right. Between you and Jesus, there's nobody in between. You and him. Not even family. Definitely not country. It's between you and him. Not patriotism or family tradition. All that stuff. It's between your soul and his soul. Now, as a man, we're responsible to be the spiritual leader in the home. But you got to get yourself right. Then you pray for your wife. Wife, pray for your husband. Husband, wife, pray for your children. And get your butts out of that Eastern Star and Freemasonry. Renounce that blood oath. You know your soul's saying something not right. And get out of there. If you repent of that sin that you did of saying a blood oath, swearing to God that you would lie, that's what it boils down to. If you repent of that to him, he'll forgive you of that, and you're no longer bound by that blood oath. But that's why they give you 3 of them, 4 of them, 5, all the way up to 30. You got a blood oath in each degree. Each one sinks you deeper and deeper and further away from God. And your family goes deeper and deeper in debt. And I ain't talking about money. I'm talking about spiritually. Now, if you renounce that blood oath, deliver your family out of that hell, get rid of those demons you brought home with you, God will forgive you if you repent of that sin. Matthew 10:33-37. Matthew 5:33-37. Can't take any oath at all. And there's no such thing as idle words spoken. Every word we speak from the day we're born, except dot, dot, goo, goo. Every word thereafter, you know you're speaking. God holds you accountable for it. Every single word. If you're not born again and you go before the great white throne, he's going to remind you of every idle word you spoke in anger, hate, lust, or otherwise. All the good deeds of the world will not save you. Good works will not pull you out of it. It's having your name written in the book of life by becoming born again. There is no other way. You see? And the age of man doesn't change the words of God. He's the same as then as he is now. The difference was when his son came into the world and died on the cross, he became the fulfillment of the law, but only through Jesus. That's it. He is the 4th commandment. He is the Sabbath rest. To be indwelled by the Holy Spirit, be indwelled with Jesus Christ. To be indwelled by the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, you're indwelled by God. But if you're not, well, do the math on that one. And don't 2 plus 2 don't equal 4 on that. Family, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. We're going to talk about a little bit of history from yesterday. And I'm going to put a little spin on it. of some sort. And we'll see what we get today to show you how Satan's been operating in our country and what they're trying to do at the highest level. Lord, thank you today for us being able to come together. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we dedicate this broadcast. Lord, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. We lay before you on the cross, Lord, that our old selves died with Jesus and our new selves were reborn. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. And, Lord, we thank you for your Holy Bible, the King James. And, Father, we call upon you to open up our eyes, our hearts, our wisdom, Lord, and give us that wisdom discernment that we need in these end times. Father, we call upon you to give us divine appointments for ourselves, to strengthen our faith, to strengthen our courage. And, Father, for divine appointments, we can spread the true word of God as you lead us through the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for Sherry, the wife of Brother Louis, that, Father, that you'll help her. And they're in time of need now, Lord. We pray for them. And, Lord, you'll lift them up. And that family, you lift them up, Father, and open their eyes and heal their bodies. And, Father, to heal their eyes. Lord, that through that healing, the Holy Spirit will give them truth. Holy Spirit will lead them the right path. And, Lord, to bring people together. We pray for Thomas, Lord, and his ulcer is having a real bad time. And, Lord, we pray for him that, Father, you'll give him help and give him healing. Heal his heart and his mind, his soul, and, Father, his body. And, Father, to bring us all to your knowledge of you. And, Father, to give us healing in our families that's having distress, having medical issues. That, Lord, through these chemtrails, these flu shots, these microchips, all this nonsense stuff, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will render it null and void. And, Father, in these tragedies that's happened, that, Father, you bring families together. Father, we pray for returning troops that's coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, that, Lord, you'll heal their bodies and heal their souls and heal their minds from that orchestrated and planned post-traumatic stress that's been put upon them. And, Lord, for those microchips and those many, many vaccines, Lord, you'll render null and void the effects of these that's happened upon their body. Lord, that you'll silence the voices in their head that's coming from technology. And, Father, you'll send it back to where it came from. And, Father, you'll tear down the harp and you tear down the chemtrail planes that's flying it. Lord, you'll ground them. And, Lord, tear up their computers and destroy their computer systems. Lord, to cause them to never be able to use them. Lord, through all this is going on that you bring out from those working in these organizations, that, Father, you'll have whistleblowers and touch their hearts, they become born again and blow the whistle on all the evil going and to pray against it. And, Father, to expose these are the fallen angels, the tricks and delusions the fallen angels are putting out, Lord, of this new age nonsense, Lord, that you'll expose it for what it really is. And, Lord, you bring people up and ministers to give them courage to speak out against this false Christ and this false theology that's going to be put upon the people. That, Lord, you'll wake up your elect and you'll bring them to bear. And you'll bring them, Father, give them courage to speak out against this disclosure. Speak out against Benjamin Krem. Speak out against this day of declaration. And, Father, to silence the voices that they'll hear. And, Father, reverse it. That the Holy Spirit will speak to their hearts and nothing else. That's, Father, why we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, got a bunch of things to talk about today, and a short time to do it. I'm going to continue on part two. I wasn't sure I was going to do this or not, but we'll see how it works out, because I just put it together in the past 30 minutes. And maybe I should say, well, I've been working on it a long time, and it's, you know, all that, but I'm not going to lie about it. Matter of fact, all of my broadcasts are kind of put together like that and always has. I wait for the Holy Spirit to tell me what to do. Really, that's what happens. in virtually everything. I don't even have a script. I go by what he leads me, where he leads me. And that's really how I've been doing it for 4 years now. Well, I want to hit a little bit of the news that I've run across that's, you know, it's kind of miscellaneous, if you will. I'm going to try, big T-R-Y. Try to keep it shorter. I tend to get verbose when I get to speaking. People know me, know that's what I do. Sometimes I go down, I apologize, but sometimes I go down rabbit trails. Even I don't know where I'm going to go down. And that's sometimes what I do. Sometimes I got to keep myself straight on it. That's one of my points that I, on occasion, may sidetrack me because I have so many different rabbit trails in this conspiracy. Sometimes it takes me down. Conspiracy, it takes me another direction. Some things I've been talking about this morning with folks and back and forth is, first of all, we'll talk about Romans 4, verse 5. And in Romans 4, verse 5, it says, even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God putteth righteousness without works. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. In Romans 4, 5, let's go up one. Because the Bible defines itself. You don't want to cherry pick. So if you have a problem with one verse, like, I don't understand that. Go up one or two, three or four, or go down or maybe do the whole book of Romans 4. But let's go to Romans 4 or 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Then it goes, even as David also describes the blessedness of man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. So in Romans 4, 5, let's go 4, 4. Now to him that worketh his reward, not of grace, but of debt. Okay, 4, 5. But to him that worketh not, but believes on him, that's key, that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, what that means, and I want to pass this on as layman's terms as best I can give, is talking about salvation through works. You see, the justified man who justifies his salvation is the one who does not work, but he pretty much renounces any possibility of earning his salvation. So we're not talking about working for a living here. We're talking about doing good deeds or tithes or attendance to church to earn our salvation on our own. So this man we're talking about would disavow any personal merit or goodness. It would be the one that acknowledges that all my best labors, all my best work could never achieve God's righteous demands. Now here's where this man, a human, would believe on him who justifies. In other words, he would not put his faith and trust in God, taking God as his word. But the merit is not in the faith, but in the object of his faith. The object of his faith, which is God. It's not doing my best living by the golden rule. Like, for example, well, I've not been that bad to others. This kind of thinking. We go to God as ungodly, guilty sinners. We throw ourselves at his mercy is what we should be doing. And to do this, we have to truly believe in him. So his faith is accounting to him for righteousness. So we come believing instead of working. So justification is for the ungodly, not for good people. It's a matter of grace, not out of debt. It's received by faith, not by works. So me giving to hospitals, giving to the widows, me helping little old ladies across the street. Won't do me a bit of good. It's my belief and my faith, my obedience that does. I come to him as a sinner, not justified by my good deeds. Then he's going to listen. That's what that pretty much means. And that came up today, and I thought I would share that with you. Romans 4, verse 5. And then I came across an article. Before I give you this article title, now, as I told my regular listeners before I talk about major subjects, if you will, I always do a study. I got like 40 studies here. And then that's when I start talking. That's how I've learned. That's what I do, you know, is I do a study. And whenever I think, well, that's a crazy concept, I'll start a study on it. I haven't published any of them, but I just use them for my own information. I'm not out to make a name or publish CDs and books. I'm just not into that. I mean, why should I when I'm using other people's, you know, giving credit for it, but using other researchers that, like Anthony Sutton or Gary Carr or Gary Allen, William G. Carr, they've already done the research. What's happened? Nothing. I thought, well, shoot, you know, if they've already done the research, I'm just going to regurgitate what I've learned from them, connect the dots, fine. But if I produce a book, you need to buy this book, Gamble's Reinvention of the Whatever. Okay, you know, and I might go on and try to self-publish it myself, and I'll be on a broadcast saying, well, I have CDs coming out. A small portion of the American population is going to get it. And I thought, well, you know, really the only book that I really care about that need to really be talking about, you want to purchase a book, is a King James Bible. Go find you one. There you go. I give the titles of the books. If I find them, you can find them. So what have I got to write my own book for? I preach it on the internet. I talk to people. I go out when God brings them. I write articles and stuff, which I've done here and there. I'll send things out. But really, I want to be promoting the King James Bible, not myself. I'll come, I'll go, whatever. But Jesus Christ is coming back. He died on the cross for our sins. He left us the only truth that there is. Anything I write will be coming by man. And it won't be, you know, in scriptural. Well, fine. Well, I got the scriptures right here. So what else do I need? History books? Well, I'll just point you to the book or give you the author. You'll look at it if you want. I give the page and title and name, whatever. Go for it. So I just turned away from writing a book. It wasn't in me to do it. I brought back 700 pounds of documents to do that when I went to Kosovo, just so I could write a book about it. But then I said, well, you know, if I do write a book, I got to promote it. For promote it, when am I going to promote the Bible? Promoting me or the Bible? Whoa, is that a trick question? It's the Bible. That's the only true word you're going to get in any library in any country on the face of this earth is a King James Bible. That's what I'm promoting. Because that's the most important thing. Nothing else. You want one? Go get you one. It's free. Or you have to buy it, sure, somewhere. But God wrote it on your hearts, too. That's really the only true word. The only truth you're going to get, literally. I don't give a hoot what the Vatican comes up with. They start off wrong in the first place. They start off pagan with Constantine. That's a fact. So that kind of knocks that out, don't it? New Age movement. Lady Gaia. Sanand Emanuel. Enlightenment. The Battlestar Galactica coming this way. Oh, that's really, really credible. Mm-hmm. So Star Trek. They are going to be a part of your life, though. When they have disclosure, y'all get ready for it. The great falling away. Okay. I did a study when I came up with a concept that I started seeing a routine, a trend. Got my attention. And so I started a study on the use of felons as a national police force. And when I started doing the study, it blew me away. No mistakes are made. Plausible deniability. Felons being brought, as I've said, to take positions at law enforcement since 2006 and before have already infiltrated into the police departments, the military, and private security, TSA. Now you know why you have despotic police officers mixed up against good police officers. You good police officers out there, you got to watch your back because they're going to take you out. They pretend to be your friends, but they're with the Aryan Nation, they're with the Christian identity, and they're Freemasons. They will stab you in the back in a New York minute when the time comes. Right now, do not be fooled by their friendship or by the partnership. It means nothing to them. I'm telling you right now. Hitler did this during his reign. It's a tenet of Stasi age philosophy to use felons in police and security matters. It's from bondage to positions of power. It's a step that will always build loyalty to those that freed them. And that will, from then on, rewards being given to them by freedom, power, and virtually no scrutiny as long as they play the game. They can rape, kill, murder, steal. As long as they play the game, they'll get away with it. Now you sort of know what's going on. However, the rewards and the lust for power is always a reminder. Thus not giving them over to realize that they traded one form of bondage for another form of bondage that's masked until they step out of line. And they know they'll die. So they are under bondage of their own lusts. Step out of line. They won't be fired. They will be executed. They will not let the felons come out. That's well-trained, multilingual. Because there, they have men that will take the initiative that goes against the values of the day. They think on their own feet, but now they're under control with another kind of bondage of reward until they step out of line. This is very complex. Hitler used it, passed it on to America when he came over here in 1945, 47. Mingley, all these guys. It brought over 10,000 Nazi war criminals in the United States that formed the CIA in the 45, 47 time frame. That ought to be a hint right there. I started this study back 3-4 years ago. The use of felons as a national police force, Nazi Germany, New Age movement, multi-jurisdictional task force, 1990s, because they knew by the 1990s, even after a study was given to Marines, 1,000 of them, in 29 Palms, California, 1991, 92, 93 time frame, it was a 40 question questionnaire, and several of the questions, were you aware of the Blue Beret of the UN? But one of the main questions of the 40, there's five of major questions of the 40, would you fire on American citizens? That was the major question. And they found out they wouldn't. So they had knew by 1990s, they had to change the thinking of the servicemen. They had to reduce the effectiveness of the U.S. military. And now you know why. Don't tell, don't you? By Clinton. That was the beginning of it. See, FDR, as I read to you before, his own quote. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any revolt, unquote. March the 4th, 1939. And all the way up to 1972. including Kent State, to 1972, they believed that the U.S. military could be used against U.S. citizens. And in fact, in 1933, Hoover sent General Eisenhower, sent Eisenhower, Major Patton, and Major MacArthur to rout out the Bonus Army in 1932 out of D.C. by bayonet, our own troops, written out our own troops. Right before, they're going to have Major General Smedley D. Butler lead a revolt against FDR. But see, General Butler didn't know that FDR was a part of this. Now, remember everything I'm going to say today, because everything kind of ties in. Remember, I read you all that quote by FDR, one of the worst traitors this country ever had. FDR, Bush, Clinton, Reagan, Carter, LBJ, Roosevelt. Heck, every one of them. Literally, every one of them. All of them. With exception, you know who, right? Andrew Jackson, Lincoln, McKinley, and JFK. But I must include, to be complete, although not presidents, Larry McDonald, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, a great man, and Malcolm X. I didn't agree with his politics, but he did care about his people, and he was not with the Boulay Society of the Freemasons, and neither was Martin Luther King. He was against all of them. Both of them were their own men. Both of them had the right ideas for their people. Martin Luther King had the right idea for both the blacks and the whites of freedom, of working together, and they didn't want that. They wanted him to lead the marches so that the Black Panthers and the Muslims could start riots. But Malcolm X wasn't cooperating with them, and Martin Luther King wasn't cooperating with Jesse Jackson's civil rights movement. I got quote and a direct in the speech of Martin Luther King where he separated himself from the civil rights workers. Oh, yeah. I can play any time I want to. Where Martin Luther King confirms it. He was bringing people together. He knew the day he made that last speech, he knew he was going to get shot. But he did it anyway. Because he cared. JFK, the same thing. He was Illuminati. Bill Cooper was Illuminati, bloodline. Did y'all know that? He turned away from his family and did the right thing, became born again. John Todd, the same thing. The Multi-Jurisdictional Task Force goes back to the 1990s. 92, 93, 94. What am I talking about here? Well, I won't give you the whole thing. But the points on that these troops are ruthless. And they're made up of felons and high-level Freemasons that control them. And they will kill their own in a New York minute. They are dangerous. Christian Identity trained the felons. There's a truce being designed by most of the large gangs in Los Angeles during the 90s. Negotiations in Chicago, New York, agreements signed in L.A., and the Crips of Bloods were trained, equipped, and uniformed through federal funding through California. Chicago was the agreement back in the 90s to bring the gangs together as a force of arms. Bush is involved, the whole doggone lot of them. You know, you even had Sheriff Arpaio threaten the militia. If you come around me, I'll shoot you. Something's wrong with this picture. How come nobody's saying a word about that? His own voice, his own words. Even Nixon, 1972, divided the United States in 10 regions, 5 states each. Executive Order 11647. It's all there. It's all been set up and kept quiet. I'm laying the groundwork for what I'm going to talk about today. All this is true and documented. Now, you have what's called the Multi-Jurisdictional Task Force, and they bring in felons. If you look at Hardin, Montana, a couple years ago, the American Police Force, they called themselves, with the logo of the Serbian coat of arms, like the Scottish Rite Freemasonry, the double-headed phoenix looking either way, was their coat of arms. I was in Kosovo 5 years. I recognized it immediately as a Serbian coat of arms. Was in Montana, taking over a sheriff's department as a checkup, a check case to see if what would happen. The leader of it was a 15-time loser, came out of prison. You good cops, since New World Order takes over, you will be targeted. The felons that are born again, the felons that do not want to join, they will all be executed according to their plans. Because remember, they don't want people to be able to take initiative. They want people that's under control. FEMA is a big part of this. And FEMA also includes other Americans. They probably fought with other Americans in the militia in Iraq and Afghanistan. But to come over here, they're led astray, amazed at the power that the Illuminati has. What they don't realize is they're all going to lose because the supernatural is going to take over. And when those Nephilim come out of their caves, when those Nephilim come out of the deep underground military bases, they're not expecting that. And when the Crips, the Bloods, Aryan, the gang members, they're let loose, they think they're going to have free operations. But the problem is, they'll be used to justify martial law, and then they're going to unleash the European troops, Russian troops, Chinese troops, in the millions located deep underground military bases, bases in Guatemala, in Mexico, Cuba, Canada, and stationed off the coast. They'll converge and be open season on the street gangs. There'll be a double cross. And they will do it. Using the FEMA organizational chart that was given to them by the establishment by Nixon in the executive order, transferred by Oliver North, Knights of Malta, Giafrida, Reagan, they'll put a administrator in charge of 10 regions inside the United States, 5 states each. They'll balkanize the United States. I've seen this happen before. I saw it in Kosovo. I saw it how it operated. I saw that tore it down, how they built it back up again. I saw how they took the guns away in order to, for freedom, for safety. And you had American chief of police there in my region that was arguing with the military, U.S. military, you can't take the weapons away from the Serbs. Well, we have to disarm them. He said no, because that means they have no protection against the Albanian terrorists. And they're really not terrorists. They were, you can call them terrorists, but for every terrorist, there's a, for one man, another is a freedom fighter. Nevertheless, they were linked up to the mafia. The mafia controlled Kosovo as allowed by the State Department. Al-Qaeda ran free. I saw it myself. Al-Haramain, RHIS, we're linked to Al-Qaeda. Even the RHIS is located in Oregon. Al-Qaeda, the government controls them. I know for a fact they do. That's one of the reasons I had to leave 2 years early, because I was raising Cain about it. I was in the middle of it. I had no intention of shutting up. Well, actually, I haven't stopped yet. I don't intend to. The family Satan has been working hard at this by rewards, privileges, but when he's done with them, they take them away and they kill whoever they've used. That's how they do it. So my warning is for those that's operating with it, you will be targeted. Well, I got a lot to tell y'all. I'll probably run in until tomorrow, part three. I can see it happening, but I'm laying the groundwork right now for today. And everything I've told you is linked up to what I'm going to tell you today and tomorrow. To give you some background of what these suckers are up to. But you know what? They lose. You understand this? Judgment is coming upon America. We've had slaves since 1712. You think God's going to let that go? No, sir. He is not. We've fomented every single war. We've been the fighting arm of the Vatican since 1776. That's a fact. We've never won a revolution ever and never will. It's impossible because they always work both sides. Always. Revolution plays in the hands of the Illuminati. People keep forgetting about God. We go, oh, that's why. So we go back to Romans 4, verse 5. I got it. Okay. Okay. So now, here's what I found. For example, Riboletti, colleagues appalled. Former gang member hired at Department of Corrections, 2014. China abolishes its labor camps, releases prisoners. Rahm Emanuel, Mossad murderer. Rahm Emanuel, Obama's chief of staff on mandatory civil service plan. The salaries for the workforce, the felons, comes out of the health care bill, as does the RFID chip. In 2006-2007, there was a massive number of police chiefs resigning after FEMA briefed them. New Wisconsin inmate program raises concern. They're using in Wisconsin inmate program to bring them out, to work them outside the prison. Article came out when inmates become U.S. Army soldiers. Article came out, Pentagon bounces Rolling Stone reporter. What ebbed ground rules actually say, article Stem Crystal. 41 Mexican prison guards charged in mass jailbreak. Missouri guard to train inmates for emergencies. California order to release inmates questioned by U.S. justices at hearing. They were ordered to release 30,000 to 50,000 inmates and reduce the number of police because of budgetary reasons. Say what? Let out the felons, but reduce the number of police for the same reason? Man, they must have allowed smoking quicker in California for marijuana and didn't tell y'all because something ain't right. They're stiff in CO3. Another article, more California inmates getting released. Number 13, ADL, Anti-Defamation League, training U.S. police and federals, armies. Why is the ADL training police all over the United States? I got a list of all of them, like over 50 police departments, federal agencies, trained by the ADL. What business is it, ADL, training our law enforcement? For what reason? To train them how to kill and how to take your freedoms of your own neighbor as a police officer that may be a Mason. Man, you'd better tell them to get out of there. Pray for them to get out of there. because they're being pulled into a vortex that they're not going to be able to get out of. Because they get caught up in it. And if they try to get out of it, they will kill them. And the partner will do it. They'll take the weapons away from the cop that's next to him when this thing is put down. When it goes live, cops that are good cops will be identified and they will be collected. It's what's going to happen. The cops today don't understand this. When the cops that know it are being friends, cookouts, whatever, they will turn on them in a New York minute because it took a blood oath to do so. They don't understand this right now. I don't know if it's even good of me even telling people about it. People ain't going to listen. I'm still obliged to do it. And I guess I'll continue it. It's going to happen. The ADL has been trained police departments all over the United States. But it might interest you to find out ADL is not always cracked up to be. They're high, high level. Not just an anti-defamation league. They're linked under the MI6, England Intelligence, which is linked under the Committee of the 300. They're up high level, as high as Permadex, NRO. That's the National Reconnaissance Office, one of the most secret organizations in America. You have involved the Christian Identity Movement. In one case, there was 3,900 stimulus checks went to prison inmates. Oh, we made a mistake. I'm sorry. No mistake. Oh, I got more than I thought I did. Upstate New York, Route Christian Identity Conference. You had the origins of the Christian identity. I did a study on that. I got an article, 40,000 prisoners to be released from California prisons. Another article, almost 30% of prisoners may be released. Blackwater chief at nexus of military and business. Pamlico prison plays a part in military exercise. When you had military paratroopers floated in the prison yard. Oh, sorry, we missed it by 3 miles. We're supposed to land in the airport, but we landed in your prison yard. Well, they happened to be outfitted with rubber bullets. Family, that was a test to see, an exercise, because if they have a prison, they will not release the prisoners. Spetsnaz, other special units, will take that prison by force. That's what the exercise was all about. They don't know that yet. There's a call to let felons start afresh. On the Riboletti colleagues, appalled former gang member hired Department of Corrections. Former gang member with political ties was arrested more than 24 times before being hired into high-paying government jobs, according to the Sun-Times, in January the 10th, 2014. State Department Dennis Riboletti, Republican from Elmhurst, and House Republicans, held a press conference in Chicago Friday. Well, it was actually back in January. They're seeking potential investigation to apparent gross lapses in employment standards at IDOC. There's no lapses. It's a setup. And they do these investigations to placate the American public, to make you think something's being done. That's how they do it. So you just say, oh, good. Okay, we got somebody on it. No, they don't. Okay, now that being said, well, looky here what I got. January the 31st. I'd say it's pretty recent, wouldn't you? That's what, last week? Obama will take executive action to reduce the prison population. Oh, really? That speaks for itself. They have it listed, low-level drug offenders. That won't be that at all. It'd be those trained in Christian identity, those that's been given opportunity jobs in FEMA as private security will be made federal. See, I've always told y'all, always said, though, listen to me, that they're going to eventually make private security, which I worked for 10 years training people in private security and government jobs. I even started the contract in Kuwait. 1994. I did the same thing in Saudi Arabia when we were attacked November 13th. I did that operation. And I worked in Kisangani. Well, that don't count. Kosovo's a security expert. Eastern region of Kosovo. I've been doing it. I've done it. I set up the lesson plans. I did the training, the actual range time, everything, right from scratch. So I've been there. I didn't know who put me there. Doggone. So, saw me, and their salaries come out of health care bill. They'll be microchipped. They don't understand. They have none of them. Have no idea what the microchip will do to their bodies. They'll step out of line. They'll take them out so fast they won't know what hit them. See, they're planning on having carte blanche to the American public. What they don't realize is they're going under bondage and they don't realize it. They will find out the hard way. You see what's happening? They got everything set up. That's why I pray against it, to give us time. There's no way that America will be the same again. It's impossible because God won't allow it. You know why? Because we have to come under judgment for the sins we've committed going back to the 1700s. It's being mounted up all along. But God has, in his grace, has extended 1933, 1963, 64, 1972, 74, 1984, 1999. He's delayed. Waiting for repentance. Their plans have failed every time, but they always regroup. In the future, Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are all passed away. Family, that's future. And that's a promise. And that's a guarantee. And it's coming. That's what you look at, not the past. I'm telling you the past to show you what you're up against. But also I'm going to give you the future. And the future is written down. I'm just reading it. I'm not a prophet. I'm just reading it to you. And it comes from God to you. Matter of fact, you can read it too. Revelation 21, verse 4. Article came out. Monsanto buys a weather climate corporation for almost $1 billion. They want to control the food by controlling the crops. That's how they do it. HARP controls the weather. Revelation 18, verse 23, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and all the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Do you know what pharmakia means, pharmacy in English, and pharmakia in Greek? You know what that means? It means sorcery. Ain't that a hoot? How about that? And the light of a candle shall shine no more in all of thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy drugs by thy sorceries, which includes everything. Witchcraft, drugs, all sorcery, alchemy, everything, were all nations deceived. Isn't that amazing? That's incredible scripture. Because that's exactly what has happened. And the King James is correct when it says sorceries. Because that includes everything. Not just drugs, but witchcraft. Freemasonry, which is sorcery at the highest level. The royal secret, not told to all, only to 33rd degree level, only to one third of them. Do they understand the sorceries involved in Freemasonry? You know, this article came out. Here's the deal. When Illuminati, the insider Illuminati, reaches about 12 to 13, 14 years old, they're in puberty. They have the beginning of little sperm cells going on in their little old bodies. They extract it out of them, and they use them for in vitro to many races and keep track of that. And here's where you get your Olympic stars. Here's where you get your superheroes in sports. In, how about that? In physics, in acting. So you could be 12 to 15 years old, and by the time you're 30, 40, 50, you could have over a couple hundred children and not even know it. Now, when Illuminati members with that bloodline, copper-based bloodline, you get it? Kind of want to sneak around a little bit or do something out of the ordinary, not planned, you got yourself an outreach of the DNA. You understand what I mean? They want to find those with that special DNA quality. Why do you think Red Cross came into play, huh? Formed by the Rothschilds to find that blood, to find that DNA, find the DNA of not only the Nephilim that might be loosened about, but find the DNA of the Hebrew Israelites that make up the 4,000 yet to come out. Ding, ding. To extinguish that bloodline, which they'll never find. That's why the Jews did not intermingle. That's why the lost tribes didn't intermingle with the Gentiles. Your Christian identity, you're lying. They're lying to their people. We're not part Jew. We're either Gentiles. Hebrew Israelites were so tight in their bloodline, they would not marry outside their bloodline. They know where the lost tribes are. They know the bloodlines. But the Illuminati will never find them, ever, until it's too late. That was the purpose of Hitler, was to then extinguish all the Hebrew Israelites he could find. That's why the Vatican created the ideology of Zionism in 1897, to ferret out the Jews, liquidate their wealth, hunt them down and kill them. That was the purpose. The tribe of Dan are murderers. Up to the Illuminati and the Jesuits, they operate the monarchy today. I don't know if you all recognize the implications of what I've just said. It's massive. That's where your Khazars, Ashkenazi, come from. The fake Jews in Israel today. The real Jews, and their real symbol is the seven candlesticks, not the Star of David. A massive deception have been put upon the people of the world. It will be straightened out, but only supernaturally. Having told you that truth, I found an article I found very curious. It came out the 3rd of February. Oops, as yesterday. The article says, quote, "Are you superhuman? Scientists want people with unusual traits to reveal themselves, and it could earn them $10,000. Researchers want to track down people with rare phenotypes. For example, people with skin that heals extremely fast." Oh, that can't be more obvious. Scientists hope studying these people could help them find new treatments for arthritis, diabetes, MS, epilepsy, and Parkinson's disease. Well, if that's the case, how come the scientists produce this doggone disease at Fort Detrick, Maryland? If they want to study them and help, how come they keep producing them? in the laboratory. What a bunch of liars. Now they're offering a reward of $10,000 for the best online submission. You ever get these movies of the Untouchables or the superheroes? This is what they're preparing you for. Predictive behavior. Oh, they're sneaky. We want to help people, even though they're causing the death. Oh, we want to help you, so can you show up if you have this DNA that we're looking for? If you don't come over to us, when we find you as children, we'll kill you. That's what they're saying. And I know that there's some out there with these extraordinary powers, extraordinary abilities that are keeping really quiet and low. And they're trying to find them. Man, these guys are sneaky. Oh, there's no doubt about it. I was going to unleash as much as I could today. But, gosh. You got Republican Paul Brown would back Obama impeachment. At the colonel level, I guess to get the Joint Chief of Staff, they must get a lobotomy. But I'm just wondering if they get the Republican or Democrat side, whether they get the same of lobotomy, or they just somehow they pay their way through law school or something. I don't know, because it's a slight problem here. Now, I'm just a little country boy here in Mount Airy. You know, I didn't go to law school at Harvard, thank gosh. And I'm not a theologian. I didn't go to any kind of theological school, thank goodness. But if I can find this stuff, how come they can't? I just don't understand it. Well, let me tell you what I'm talking about. Let's talk facts. You see, the Constitution is not in effect, 1938. We don't have a Constitution. That's the first problem. People aren't understanding this. We got to affect the Constitution. We got to use the Constitution. What Constitution? Ain't one. We're a democracy. No, you're not. Never have been. FDR confirms it. So try again. No Constitution. We've never been a democracy. Constitution. Tompkins versus Erie Railroad was rendered null and void by federal mandate. 1938. So it's not in effect. Never has been since then. So sovereign citizen, you got to be kidding me. It's called placating, whatever. So that being the facts, and knowing that since 1783, that's a long time ago, we have been a corporation, never a country or landmass. Never. We're a corporation. We're a colony of England today, as is Canada, British Israel, and Australia. These are facts, I'm telling you. So if we're a corporation like Walmart or whatever and been lied to about country and all that sort of thing, then how come they could start spouting off about impeachment? When the facts are the Constitution was usurped by the corporation in full effect since 1938. And these are the basic premises that's adhered to by the people in this movement, the people in the sovereign movement. The government's a corporation functioning as federal government. Lawyers, judges that are Freemasons. So it doesn't have to follow the Constitution at all. You know, it doesn't matter either if Obama's a natural born citizen, since it's a corporation that he's the actual head of, as all of our presidents have been, since 1783. So the corporation gets the permission of the people to reign over them by deceit. It's done by the wording in the birth certificates, social security cards, driving license, marriage licenses, IRS forms, other documents. You give permission. Oh, boy. So they all refer to the person in all capital letters. That means the name represents the corporate entity. That's why I pay income tax. Your corporation is individual. That's how the corporation courts get jurisdiction over you. When you enter that little gate, that swinging gate where you go to your table and you're like a defendant or something another, right? And over there is those bad guys called the prosecutors. Well, when you cross in that barrier, you just entered a ship. They should have a bell there. Ding, ding. Now, if you stay on this side of that little gate, they don't have jurisdiction on you. Now, they'll threaten you and all this sort of thing. But that's why the fringe is on the flag, because it's maritime. You're out to sea. Wouldn't it be funny if you came there with a frog suit? Plop, plop, plop. I'm here. What for? Well, I'm out to sea, so I brought my frog gear with me. I don't think they go over very well. But nevertheless, you are literally on a ship when you cross over in the judge's arena and area. They should just check your passport, right? Because they're taking you out of the United States into the defendant's desk. You're on a ship out to sea in all due effect. Isn't that something? How come those lawyers don't know that? Oh, my mistake. I forgot. They took a blood oath not to tell you. That's right. That's right. That's right. Oh, silly me. When you enter a U.S. courtroom, there's a military, what's called an admiralty flag. The U.S. military does not have the protection of the Constitution, and neither does this apply to admiralty laws with ships at sea. When you enter a courtroom and cross through the little wooden gate, as I said, you go to the area where the plaintiff, prosecutor, and defendant sit along with the judge, court reporter. You're entering a ship or a foreign country as evidenced by the admiralty or military flag. Thus, the Constitution has no applicability. So you're under equity law, not common law. So the flaw is with their scheme that there's no full disclosure to everybody without any about the end of this. Nothing. This is really oversimplified. But it's a scam they're running and have been for generations. You know, in 1780, we were officially bankrupt and always kept bankrupt. 1789, 1859, 1929, and supposed to end 1999. Hey, you got it now? 1789, we went bankrupt. We were a corporation, bankrupt corporation. To operate, you needed a loan. Loan came from guess who? Rothschilds. Authorized by who? The Vatican and the monarchy. 70-year bank cycle. 70 years? Uh-huh. So in the meantime, we invade Mexico. We set up for the Civil War. Now, you know, you've heard me talk about that before. And 70 years are up when? 1859. What a coincidence. That was the beginning of the Civil War. Wow, what a coincidence that was. Uh-huh. So when you fought another war, as promulgated by the Europeans, put us under another bankruptcy, which Lincoln was supposed to take a bank loan for 33% interest. Man, that's mafia. But Lincoln said no. Say what? No, I'm not going to do it. Well, what do you mean you're not going to do it? You heard what I said. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to invoke the greenbacks, quarter own money. Lincoln, you can't do that. I'm going to do it. No, you can't. Yes, I am. Okay. Kill him. That's what the Jesuits did with the Masons. They killed Lincoln. Lincoln's supposed to, we're still actually in martial law since he declared it. Technically, we're still in martial law since then. He was an avatar of the fallen angels. He wasn't a fallen angel. He was an avatar. He was a bloodline. He was to release the newly acquired culture since 1712 in America called the blacks. The whites were the first invaders, invaded against the Mexicans and Indians were indigenous. Then the whites bring in the blacks. The blacks and everybody else comes in. We are a multinational, multi-jurisdictional, multinational country, which is what's planned since 1425 to be the new Atlantis. Nobody was none the smartest, the wise. That's what's going on today. Is your head spinning yet? I'm just getting started. So 1789, collateral was the Washington, D.C. was given to the political powers. Collateral, got to have, get a loan, got to have collateral. That furnished for 70 years, 1859. We lost the Civil War. We lost the Revolution, too, but we lost the Civil War. You can't win when you fight each other. You FEMA, you militia, it would do for you to listen to what I'm saying. But you're not going to. You're going to fulfill what they want you to do. You're going to go ahead and do it to justify martial law, but go on. You'll do it anyway. So in 1859 began the next 70-year bank cycle. Collateral, 13 states was given to the money powers as collateral. What 70 years tacked on to that? 1929. That's why the Federal Reserve Act was incredibly important. McKinley and a lobbying group went against their financial plans in 1901. You saw what happened there, didn't you? Shot him. The Titanic has a lot to do with it, too, when the Astros went against the Federal Reserve Act. They took out the Astros on the Titanic, which was really an Olympic. It's another story. 1911, 1912. 1913, it was planned. Federal Reserve Act had to get passed, had to. They made sure, and it did. So by 1921, J.P. Morgan causes a crash that you all don't read about too often to scare the dickens out of the public. It worked because in 1921, the same year, thereabouts, he flooded the market with money, raising the stock market up, 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 up. So out of fear, people started buying, 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 getting rich, 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 rich. Hence, Happy Days Are Here Again, the Clapper Girls, Big Cigars and Mafia. Here we go. Oh, yeah. 1921. Ironically enough, 7 years of prosperity. Well, 1927, Federal Reserve planned the stock market crash. 1928, Walmart. that was a Freudian slip. Wall Street funded Adolf Hitler, 1928. You know Adolf Hitler, right? Adolf Hitler? Roman Catholic? Follower of Helena Blavatsky? Second cousin to Churchill, Stalin, and Queen Elizabeth II. A higher level cousin of FDR. Ain't that a hoot? Wow. Cousins. Oh, they had a family plan you would not believe. These are all facts, man. So by 1929, America's ready for a military coup. First, they had to take us down, crash the market. So the banks simply just called in the loans. Ring, ring, ring. John? Yes, yes. How's your cigar? It's great. Well, I need the money for the car and the house. Say what? I want the car and the house money. Needs to be paid up now. I can't do that. Well, you got 24 hours. 48, whatever. Guess what they had to do? Nationwide. Sell the stocks immediately. That's all it was. So when your Harvard professor says it was junk bonds and 10 reasons why the Depression happened, he's full of mud. All they did was call in the loans. Stock market crashed. Oh, they got silly excuses in the textbooks. 1929. Oh, bad news, Jack. Oh, it's bad news. They withheld the bonuses of the bonus army. The World War I veterans. Then they got lobbying groups to have a march on D.C. That set them up to allow the current military to rout them out, to really tick them off. Why? Because they were going to be used for military takeover of the U.S. government in 1933-34. Except it didn't work the way they'd planned. And FDR was a part of this planning, by the way. They were going to catch Major General Smedley D. Butler in the act of putting it together because he was offered $60,000 to lead a revolt and to subjugate the government. Does that sound familiar, white hats? It should. We're going to do it again. except he blew the plans for him. He went to Congress. Uh-oh. He blew the whistle. He was approached with $60,000 in cash to lead a revolt of 500,000 men against FDR and use it as a blunt force for negotiation. But what they were really going to do, FDR was planning on catching him in the act and declare martial law on him a traitor. And I got a quote from FDR, March 4th, 1939, about planning a dictatorship and stopping the armed revolt. I've read it a million times before. As a matter of fact, I go a step further. How about testimony from the man himself? Will that work for you? It worked for me.
You can roughly locate any community somewhere along a scale running all the way from democracy to despotism. This man makes it his job to study these things.
Well, for one thing, avoid the comfortable idea that the mere form of government can of itself safeguard a nation against despotism.
For big business, despotism was often a useful tool for securing foreign markets and pursuing profits. One of the U.S. Marine Corps' most highly decorated generals, Smedley Darlington Butler, by his own account, helped pacify Mexico for American oil companies, Haiti and Cuba for National City Bank, Nicaragua for the Brown Brothers brokerage, the Dominican Republic for sugar interests, Honduras for U.S. fruit companies, and China for Standard Oil. General Butler's services were also in demand in the United States itself in the 1930s, as President Franklin Delano Roosevelt sought to relieve the misery of the Depression through public enterprise and tougher regulations on corporate exploitation and misdeeds.
More power to you, President Roosevelt. The entire country's behind you, thrilled with hope and patriotism.
The country was not entirely behind the populist president. Large parts of the corporate elite despised what Roosevelt's New Deal stood for. And so, in 1934, a group of conspirators sought to involve General Butler in a treasonous plan.
The plan as outlined to me was to form an organization of veterans, to use as a bluff or as a club at least, to intimidate the government.
But the corporate cabal had picked the wrong man. Butler was fed up with being what he called a gangster for capitalism.
I appeared before the Congressional Committee, the highest representation of the American people, under subpoena to tell what I knew of activities, which I believe might lead to an attempt to set up a fascist dictatorship. The upshot of the whole thing was that I was supposed to lead an organization of 500,000 men, which would be able to take over the functions of government.
A Congressional Committee ultimately found evidence of a plot to overthrow Roosevelt. According to Butler, the conspiracy included representatives of some of America's top corporations, including J.P. Morgan, DuPont, and Goodyear Tire. As today's chairman of Goodyear Tire knows, for corporations to dominate government, a coup is no longer necessary.
Corporations have gone global. And by going global, the governments have lost some control over corporations, regardless of whether the corporation can be trusted or cannot be trusted. Governments today do not have over the corporations the power that they had and the leverage that they had 50 or 60 years ago. And that's a major change. So governments have become powerless compared to where they were before.
Today commands the towering heights and has displaced politics and politicians as the new high priests and reigning oligarchs of our system. So capitalism and its principal protagonists and players, corporate CEOs, have been accorded unusual power and access. This is not to deny the significance of government and politicians, but these are the new high priests.
Back to you. Well, I figure you're tired of hearing me talk about it, and I'll give you straight from the horse's mouth, straight from the politicians and straight from the hero called Major General Smedley D. Butler. He died in 1940. After 1939, that statement from FDR. And now, maybe you'll get the full impact of the statement about FDR. He made himself on March 4th, 1939, doors. Now I read the statement again for those that maybe haven't heard it, or those may hear it again, and now you, from what you've heard so far, and I read it now. You say, well, is this a history lesson? Uh-uh. No. This is not a history lesson. This is telling you what Obama's going to do. It tells you what Bush is going to do. It was planning to do. And it tells you what Clinton, what Carter, what every single doggone cotton-picking one of them are involved in through the secret societies. Every single one. So on March 4th, 1939, 1 year before General Butler died, and 6 years after the military coup was planned, here's what FDR said behind closed doors in secret. It was given to William G. Carr in the 50s by Senator Lundeen, who was a member of this congressional committee, one of the three, who copied it down in his diary and his records. Here's what FDR said to everybody behind closed doors. And this is not just FDR. This is representative of every president we've ever had, except for the ones assassinated that tried to do the right thing. So that's why I'm reading it to you today, because this represents all the rest of them. Every one of them. All of them. President Roosevelt said, quote, I am making no concessions to business or for relief. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. I am putting my people, and that's the Illuminati, ahead of all instruments. That's the American people. Instruments in the bank loan as collateral in 1929. We were collateral. That's what your birth certificate is all about. Ding, ding. Wake up. Continuing. I'll have had a full understanding with Chamberlain, and we will destroy this unemployed condition with a war and a war only. To hell with American people as far as democracy is concerned. It does not exist. It never did, and we will never let it happen that way. I am going to crush business, infest America with all the aliens possible, and in the last analysis, declare martial law and confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. My New Deal is a failure, and I know it, but no one else will tell me. I must discontinue my present activities and program. Unquote. Now, when he said this, he knew Pearl Harbor was set up when he was Churchill, and the Japanese elite, using Ensign Yamamoto as a go-between, between 1922 and 1927-28, they planned Pearl Harbor as a dialectic, false flag, fact. And they knew that World War II was coming because World War II was planned before 1873 by Albert Pike Freemason. He's a Luciferian. He planned World War I, World War II, and coming up World War III, all before 1873, as channeled by the fallen angels. And it weren't no Jew. It ain't a Jewish conspiracy. It's not a Islamic conspiracy. They're used, yes. It's a Luciferian conspiracy, using Freemasons at the highest level, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Jesuits, Illuminati, that are Roman, Italian, and German insiders. There is the enemy, and the Druids. Witchcraft. That's your enemy. But what the American public don't always know in this history lesson, and why FDR, he knew, there were six phases. The Japanese were supposed to attack, contain, and neutralize the West Coast. You heard me say neutralize. They failed to do so. Ensign Yamamoto, who went to school in Harvard, that's how the cover for him to, as a go-between. He was in Harvard between mid-1920s. He came back as a liaison to complete the planning. Oh, yeah. Look it up on your own if you want to. I highly advise you do it on your own. That's how they remember. You can only speculate at this point, unless you really do a history study on Yamamoto, that maybe he had a soft heart, maybe he just had fear, whatever reason, he stopped the attack, did not completely demolish the West Coast. The aircraft carriers were sent out to sea. Maybe there's a double cross going on. Who knows? But they did not neutralize the West Coast. There were six phases planned for World War II. Churchill, FDR, they had planned six phases with Hitler that once Britain and France would be neutralized, as planned by Churchill, a traitor to his country, because he was the one that set up the Lusitania in May of 19... Let me get exactly, I want to tell you somewhere. Exactly... May the 7th, 1915. Working with J.P. Morgan, they set up the Lusitania for 1,201 lives to die. Quote, Colin Simpson, it was the foulest act of willful murder ever committed on the seas when Churchill ordered the single escort ship to abandon the Lusitania. J.P. Morgan set it up in America, and working with Churchill, made sure they sunk that ship as justification to enter World War I, is all planned out. The sinking of the Maine, sinking Lusitania, Pearl Harbor, have all been false flags, every single one, all of them. Y'all getting this? I connect my dots. I follow Jesus Christ. I don't follow nobody else. This is non-negotiable. The sixth phase of attack in World War II that never happened. See, what they don't realize is that God's in control. And God turned Hitler over to power lust. Because, you see, Hitler went off on his own. He went a little nutso, didn't he? Mm-hmm. He sure did. The sixth phase, number fifth phase, was to neutralize France and Britain. It's planned by Churchill and the British hierarchy and the French hierarchy. And once the fifth phase had been complete, Adolf Hitler was supposed to invade the southern part of Canada. And the Japanese were supposed to completely invade the California coast. America would be involved. Does this sound familiar? With a civil war inside. Mm-hmm. A military takeover? Now you can confirm it. Now you understand. We're supposed to be in a dictatorship, allowing invasion by Germany in the sixth phase that never happened, and then Canada to sweep in through Canada to the mid part of Canada and sweep south near Michigan and cut the U.S. in half. Family, they're going to do it again. Except this time they use the Chinese. And the Russians is already here, as allowed by your hierarchy of government. And there's no replacing the government, because both sides are evil. It's just which one is more evil than the other. They both want control. As a matter of fact, Carl Ritter, who wrote the fascist program in 1800s, as directed by the Jesuits, in conjunction with Karl Marx plagiarizing the communists, working together, you understand this. It's a dialectic. In 1850s, planning the second 20th century's wars. Karl Ritter himself warned the leaders of the Aryan group, German, that a military invasion of another country should never be undertaken until the fifth column and propaganda machines had thoroughly paved the way and convinced the majority of the people to accept their arm intervention as the act of saviors or crusades and not as aggressors. Now, do y'all understand what I mean by a fifth column? If you don't, I'll explain it. The fifth column, if you're going to attack a castle, for example, it's a strategy that's been used for centuries. If you have a war and you're going to attack the castle, for example, proverbial, you have four directions which you can encompass the castle or the country, whatever. North, south, east, and west. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. But a castle is strong. You might lose a lot of men in trying to take this big castle. So what you do is a year or whatever time frame before the actual war starts, you infiltrate into the castle members of politics, of the workers, medical. They become living, they become citizens there. They live there. Become friends, neighbors, politicians, presidents, until the time for the war to start. And then when the time of war to start, they start undermining not only the collective intelligence, but they start undermining the gate, the guards, cause division. It's how Satan works. You see? And they cause division within the castle itself. That's the fifth column. So four columns attack the castle, south, east, and west. But before they do that, you put the fifth column in, which is within. So you want the strategy? Fine. I'll give it to you in a quote, since I'm just a little fellow here in North Carolina. How about Cicero Marcus Tullinius, 42 BC? He says, I quote, "The enemy within, a nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and he carries his banners openly. But the traitor moves among those within the gates freely. His sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very hall of government itself. The traitor appears not traitor. He speaks in the accents familiar to the victims. He wears their face, their garments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of a city. He infects the body politic so it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to be feared." Cicero, Marcus, Tullius, 42 B.C. And I guess as I'd like to do, take a step further. I like overkill. Just my nature. And that is a quote from Caesar. Begin quote. "The leader who bangs the drums of war in order to whip the citizens into a patriotic fervor. For patriotism is indeed a double-edged sword. It both emboldens the blood as it narrows the mind. When the drums of war have reached a fever pitch, the blood boils with hate, the mind was closed. The leader will have no need in seizing the rights of the citizens. Rather, the citizens, infused with fear, blinded by patriotism, will offer up all their rights to the leader, and gladly so. How do I know? For this is what I have done, and I am Caesar." Unquote. You know what Carl Ritter said when he started writing his documents? He cold-bloodedly recommended the destruction of communism and the extermination of the Jewish race as essential to obtaining ultimate control of international affairs by the Aryan leaders. He justified this stipulation with the facts of history, he says, when he claimed and proved communism was being used by the international Jewish bankers to further their own selfish materialistic ambitions. So now you know where they're getting it from. I've just exposed it for what it really is, a lie. And where the attack on the Jews. And of course, the Jews in Israel today are not the Jews of the Bible. They're the fake Jews. The real Jews Hitler tried to find. That's why Satan enlisted the tribe of Dan long ago, intermingled the bloodline, because they were disinherited from the tribe of Jacob, from Jacob's 12 tribes. They were taken out because they got stupid on them. So Satan took them over, and they are the Queen Elizabeth of today. They believe themselves to be the offspring, descendants of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. But what they are, if they're that, is the offspring of Sananda Manuel, a fallen angel. I wonder if they know that. I wonder if they're deceived themselves. If they don't come waking up, they don't repent, they're going straight to a burning hell. I don't mean to be dramatic when it's truth, but I guess it ends up being that way. So what else can I show you? How about this, 1983?
Reagan was elected to the presidency. He installed Louis Giafrida as head of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Giafrida was an old cold warrior from Reagan's California days whose specialty was suppression of unrest and dissent. Giafrida, North, and George Bush began to turn FEMA into an instrument of domestic anti-terrorism.
You're dealing with a group of people in the Reagan administration who equated political dissent with treason and who cannot differentiate between emergency procedures, which I think everyone agrees are necessary, and suppressing political dissent. And with North and Poindexter and Casey, you had a group of people who saw Americans who disagree with them as the enemy.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman,
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir?
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked. I believe that it was.
May I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
And tragically, the only member who got close was Jack Brooks, stopped by the chairman.
Well, I'm not done. I told you I like overkill. In 1973, about 10 years before that, in the same time frame that President Nixon had planned a military coup, by the assassination of Spiro Agnew by a unit from LAPD at the Republican convention that was supposed to be held in San Diego, which never happened, Nixon was going to plan his military coup. It's not, you see? As a matter of fact, 73, there's a study using human subjects from prison, rehabilitation. The thesis was rehabilitation began in the central nervous system of the citizen. Health and Education Welfare funded it program by Dr. Ralph Schwetzebel out of Harvard. And the idea was, and what they did, was they implanted a miniaturized radio transmitter in the brain or body of the subject. They picked homosexuals in prison, and it was to monitor and transmit the conversations, location, and even the sexual response to the subject 24 hours a day, and this was in 1973. And you know, the report goes on. I got a copy of the report, by the way. Explains it's sewed up inside the subject's body, along with a transponder, would be a radio-controlled electrical shock device. And the device, the body, would deliver punishment to the offender anywhere in the world. That's 35-some years ago. Who are these offenders they're talking about? Well, the author was Professor Ralph K. Schwetzebel. Sound like something you'd drink or eat at a German restaurant, don't it? S-C-H-W-I-T-Z-G-E-B-E-L, Schwetzebel, of Harvard University, and dwelled on homosexuals. But later, when you read the monograph, it's, I got 92 pages, he talks about an offender's official or financial matters and disputes over financial obligations and socially troublesome persons. And, you know, the paper in 73 predicted micro-miniaturization. And today we call it the RFID chip. Oh, that's a tattoo. And it permit near-permanent intracranial stimulation. And, you know, then the new program related to civil matters and rather than criminal situations. And so they were assured then that the cruel, unusual punishment of the Eighth Amendment to the Constitution, that didn't exist anyway, would not present any serious obstacle to implementing this plan. I'm not done. At that same time frame, documented, Glasshouse tapes, Lewis Tackwood, page 226, an NSA, National Security Agency, computer specialist, he proposed attaching a miniature electronic device, tracking device, to 20 million Americans in 1973. A transponder would transmit the wearer's location by radio to a computer and could be used for arrests following riots, confrontations, or monitoring aliens, political subgroups, and so forth. Behavioral engineering. Here comes along Dr. Jose Delgado, Putarich, Barton Ingraham of Berkeley. How about that? And that's some. It's funded by the health care bill. All they need is a national disaster. It overrides the Constitution. Yeah, you go, I'm a sovereign citizen. That'll just blow you away. Man, y'all got to wake up. You militia, you better understand. You've got 22 suicides per day. You understand? 22 suicides in a 24-hour period of soldiers come back from Iraq and Afghanistan. How come nobody's talking about it? What's wrong with you, Joint Chief of Staff? There's your lobotomy. What's wrong with you? You don't deserve those stars you have on your shoulder. That's where Romans 4, verse 5 comes in. You go into church. You go into mass. You're doing good deeds. It's not going to get you to heaven. It's going to send you to a burning hell until you renounce a blood oath and get some kind of courage and speak out against what's going on. Why do you have 257 foreign trade zones in America? How come Ron Paul's not talking about that? Is he a coward, a traitor, or is he a Rosicrucian? How come they don't say, close them down? Because that belongs to Chinese sovereign territory. Why are they in our country? Because America is being placated by a Luciferian government that is subservient to the crown. It goes back to 1776. All our founding fathers, if they weren't deists like they were, all they had to do, well, actually the people. See, what they don't tell you about is the coronation oath of the crown, of which we're subservient to even today. What they haven't told our founding fathers of sort was all they had to do, if they don't want taxation or want whatever else to be done by the monarchy, was simply to send a petition signed by 1,000 people or more, I'm not sure exactly the number, and take your duly elected officials that work for the people, just take the petition signed by 1,000 or more citizens back in the 1700s to the king or queen, in this case King George III, and by virtue of the coronation oath they took, they had to abide by the wishes of the people. But they made sure that the people, our Patrick Henrys, our little squatty Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, these other traitors, they made sure that American people didn't know about that. They made sure they give these patriotic speeches to embolden the patriotic fervor. Because you see, the coronation oath goes on. And what it says is, the people have not the right to revolt because they don't need to. Because they had to abide by the wishes of the people when signed a petition delivered by their duly elected legislation. But this was not informed to our ancestors. They lied and said, no, we have Concord on April the 19th, 1775, a sacrificial day, to justify military action. Now you know, in order to put us under military bondage, which happened in 1789. A corporation by 1783. That's how it went down. You see, the government is established by God, Romans 13. But the leaders in the Luciferian and secret societies undermines God. And we allowed it. And still are. And we're going to do another revolution that will be put down. They're doing a division again. But they have to wait till the former dies off. So they won't remember the history. That's why they quit teaching history. Oh, man. They got it nailed, don't they? They got us all too busy. Moms, dads working. Oh, yeah, got to work. That's what's planned that way. They create viruses. They create HIV. That's a fact, Fort Detrick, Maryland. They reduce jobs to make sure husband and wife work. They tear down the families by design. Family, these are the talking points at the Bilderberg Group, Club of Rome, Trilateral Commission, the UN, the Council of Foreign Relations, which is American, Royal Institute of International Affairs, and Gorbachev Foundation that contained within Tavistock, the Round Table. Tavistock, a behavioral think tank, worldwide behavioral think tank, Tavistock, formed in the 1920s or so, is under the Royal Institute of National Affairs. That's Illuminati in England. 1940s, Tavistock really took a lead, really organized in the 1940s, but the core of it was 1921 time frame. Family, what's my point? Lucifer has been a busy, busy boy. Why? Because he knows he's going to hell. He's trying to delay it. He's trying to get it going, and he ain't going to happen. He's trying to use human service that's been on rewards, secret societies, blood oaths, all this stuff going on, wars to keep us busy, collect souls to manifest the fallen angels into this realm. All kinds of alchemy going on. I try to simplify it best I can for people before it really goes to the next paradigm. What's the bottom line? Take Jesus as your Savior. That's the bottom line. Whose side are you going to be on? The one that's already lost or the one that's going to win and that's already won at the cross of Calvary? And that's not a trick question. That's one. And you've got leaders in the religious, I mean, all of them at the highest level are not on your side. I got 33 ways these preachers, evangelists, TBN, 700 Club, the whole doggone lot of them. I got 33 ways they keep people from being saved or walking the Christian life. And they're trained this way. You understand this? This is not because they're inadequate. Hagee and all the rest of them. Blood moon's my butt. Ain't no blood moon. Joyce Myers, this whole doggone lot of them. Osteen, Alex Fletcher, Gallup, the whole doggone lot, man. And they're all coming out clean, dirty here in the past 5 years. Now, definitely in the past year, on cue, getting close to disclosure. Y'all get ready now, because Jesus is coming soon. He keeps delaying it, because you keep praying. I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about, an hour and a half worth of spiritual warfare. The epiphany I had about the rapture, I'll share. Some other things I want to talk about tonight. Bible study. 7:30 to 9 tonight. We go Bible study Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We're randomly played our broadcast and Bible studies. Played at highpointradio.net. Highpointradio.net by John Kirkler. And his email is highpointradio@yahoo.com. We're also simulcast at KBLU Radio. And that's Blue Raven Network. And he was one we was praying for. He's got some medical issues. So pray for him. And for Sherry, wife of Brother Louis, retina issues, and your own family. Do a lot of praying, because there's a lot of deception. Y'all get ready. But you know, one thing, it says that the great delusion's coming, right? God's going to send a strong delusion that may even fool the elect. Oh, wait a minute. Do tell. So if the elect is still here for this delusion, so what's this pre-trib rapture? If you have a pre-tribulation rapture, you're taken out. That means you would not have an opportunity to be deceived. But then you're not appointed to wrath. That's the last seven trumpets. Around the last three and a half year mark of the 7 years. Your Nathan Leos and all these guys, they have no clue what they're talking about. Problem is, Quayle, all these guys, no sir, no way possible. Deceivers of the yin-yang. Family, get out of there. You study your Bible. Trust your Bible, not man. Man, don't even trust me. You trust yourselves and get that Bible and get connected to the Holy Spirit yourself. You do it. And that Bible is irrefutably the only true word of God. But if we're not appointed to wrath, if the very elect could be deceived, that means they're still here. So that means they could very well be a rapture at the second, third, or fourth, or fifth seal. That's something to consider. The removal of the church before the wrath of God. You see? Because you're not appointed to wrath. And you'll still be here for the not to be deceived, even the very elect. Try this on for size. The distinct possibility of a Lehigh fake rapture. They talk about pre-trib, right? Know that Lehigh is a missile national policy. That's Illuminati. So they can't be trusted. Here's what I've connected. Speculation. The New Age movement, the fallen angels, your fake Gabriel, the angel, the fake Michael angel, the fake Sananda, fake Christ, all these fake angels that are fallen angels are talking about removing their people out. If they come up with a fake rapture and say, well, Christians, you were just to make it, and Sananda Manuel, you got yourself a fake rapture, and the Christians born again will be totally fooled, even the very elect, by a fake pre-trib rapture. That might be manufactured. That's something to think about, huh? I'll leave you with that. Tonight we're going to talk a bunch of things and spiritual warfare and so forth, and then we'll keep on plugging right along all week long. We'll talk about some more news tomorrow and what's behind the news, the truth. And everything I tell you, family, you check it out yourself. Don't take one person's word for anything. I'm sorry it has to be that way, but you got to know. You trust the Holy Spirit. That means you got to get close to Him. How do you do that? By becoming born again. Then you got something going on. They've lost this war, family. Just remember that. Don't let them put fear in you. The fear they're putting into you, they want to use against you. Why should you have fear when you follow the one that's won already, who has your soul, has your spirit in his hands? What have you to fear? Nothing. So you stand strong. Now, you all have a great evening and stay strong in the Lord, because you're going to be sorely tested. You can count on that now, but you stay strong and trust that King James Bible. You trust that Holy Spirit. You get close to your Lord and Savior and pray for your families. Y'all have a good night. God bless. We'll see y'all tomorrow, tonight at 7:30, or tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. Hit the ground running. Have a great night. Family, love y'all. I'm signing off. God bless. God bless and good night. Signing off.